Riddle me this. Today's Bible reading, Jesus tells a couple of parables, which is somewhat redundant. Couple and parables. There's another pun for the day. The parables are about farming and how plants grow. And Jesus talks about a tiny, tiny mustard seed and the large plant that comes from it. You may have heard the phrase, if you have but the faith of a mustard seed. We still use it. It's in colloquial culture right now, referring to how small things begin and how amazingly large they can become through faith in God. But somehow this version of the parable isn't exactly the way that maybe we're used to hearing it. It says, the small seed grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs. It doesn't sound as grand as the version from Luke. This is from Mark. The version from Luke says, it is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. It's likely that the writer of Luke didn't like shrub either. And the actual word that was used, probably the word that Jesus used, it's lachanan or lachanon or something like that. You could say it with me. Go ahead. Lachanan. It means herb or garden plant or shrub. But it just doesn't sound as grand. You have the faith of a mustard seed. Your seed could grow up to be a shrub. And I don't know, shrub isn't really that grand a word, is it? A tree instead of a garden plant. That sounds grander. But no matter what, the parable still expresses something very tiny growing into something big. And Jesus saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. And no matter what, Jesus provide an opportunity for discussion. See, right at the end of the reading, it's the part where he said he spoke to them only in parables and then in smaller groups with the disciples. He explained things. And that part kind of gets lost when we're reading about specific parables. It's Jesus loved to talk to people in riddle talk, in parables. But then he would do further explanation to the disciples in private. See, through these parables, there's an example even in that Jesus spoke in parables. It's that there is more to learn. There is more to understand. There is more to seek. Jesus talked about these things with his disciples. He got into smaller groups and really hashed out the stories. They spent time in what's called Midrash. This is where the rabbi and the rabbi's students or the rabbi's disciples get together. Or sometimes it's more than one rabbi sitting and talking and arguing about what the scriptures mean. And guess what? They didn't always agree. Way back when, we still don't always agree today. But they would have these discussions, find deeper and deeper meaning in things. And I think that the parables are still open for discussion. The meaning behind everything hasn't been decided, especially in the parables, because they're meant to make us think. There are two parables in today's reading. The second one is the mustard seed. The first one is a seed parable too. And it quite simply, I don't know if it's quite simply, but here's the basic understanding of it. Seeds are planted, they grow, the plants grow large, the plants are harvested, providing nourishment and resources. And then the seeds that come from the plants are planted, and more growth begins. That's how Jesus compared the kingdom. Or to put it in a non-royal language, it's God's realm. Or to put it into something that's not even royal or somewhat not understandable, it's God's neighborhood. That's the kingdom, God's neighborhood. And in God's neighborhood, we have seeds planted, growth, lots of growth, harvest, and continued seed planting. All of it to benefit the ones whose lives are enhanced by what grows. But it does require this reseeding so that the growth pattern doesn't stop. You can't just plant once. Any of you ever work on a farm or are farmers or have a garden? Go ahead, you have a garden. Come on, you got to raise your hand for that. You can't just plant your garden once. There are some plants that come up, but there's reseeding and there's harvesting. There's growth. There's watering, We finally got some rain yesterday for some watering. Who was it that told me that we got the rain because they watered their shrubs yesterday? Yes. Oh, my. Let me ask you some dangerous questions. I want to ask them to you and give you permission to think in any direction that the questions take you. It's not going to be a discussion where I ask and then you shout back. It's just to think. I'll give you some time to think about these. One is, how have you experienced God's neighborhood? And another one is related to it, but I think it's even more dangerous because it has these two sides to it. What makes you want to keep believing in God? And then a third one. How are you reseeding what you've experienced? And now some of you are going to spend the rest of the sermon just thinking about that, which is fine. But while you're chewing on that, and so that we don't have silence for the rest of the sermon, I'm going to make your brain work in two different directions. Let's go back to the mustard seed. Here's some things that the parable of the mustard seed might bring out when you're thinking about it. Like, God's neighborhood is like a little seed that grows into a big weed. You ever tried to get mustard plants out where they're not supposed to be there and you're tearing out mustard and it just keeps coming back? Or God's neighborhood is like a little seed that grows into a big weed that folks spend hours trying to get rid of to no avail. Or God's neighborhood is like a little seed that pays no attention to the desire of the farmer. It grows and it grows and it grows, often choking out other plants around it. For taking it to the end there with mustard. Or God's neighborhood is like a little seed that produces an uncontrollable and disorderly result. I love that. God's neighborhood is chaotic and you can't control it. Or God's neighborhood is like a little seed that produces ultimately the perfect taste to go with a hot dog or a bratwurst. Yes? Anybody put ketchup on their hot dogs? I'm sorry, you're just wrong. Even ketchup and mustard. I know you can have what you want there, but mustard, right? Mustard goes with a hot dog. No, Nancy's like, no way, no way. See you. Oh, we'll have to agree to disagree on that one. Or perhaps we could take this mustard seed parable and put it in a little more positive direction. Like, God's neighborhood grows everywhere, and you can't get rid of it. Or God's neighborhood isn't dependent on folks to defend it or to nurture it. It just grows. Or God's neighborhood isn't harmed by folks who attack it or try to minimize it. Or God's neighborhood isn't neat and tidy. It's all over and we can't control it. Or God's neighborhood is distinct and it makes stuff taste better. I think there's more that comes with those kinds of thoughts. This is when Jesus taught in parables. These are the kinds of things that he was inviting. This kind of discussion, I know it's not a discussion now, but these kinds of thoughts that you can think about later. Or as the two kids who were up here, the girl, what's your name? Megan. Megan, who said, I may not think about it right now a lot, but I'm going to think about it later. You may not be thinking about it right now, but I hope that later on you start thinking about it. On the way home, in the car, in a discussion, while you're eating, next time you have a hot dog with whatever condiment you put on it. God's neighborhood is tiny and at the same time bigger than you can imagine. And when we mess up, God's neighborhood is not messed up. Before we get images of how to make this church bigger, You know, how do we make this congregation bigger if God's neighborhood is uncontrollable? It's going to happen, and we're going to grow by leaps and bounds, and we're going to be able to make our budget, and we're going to put air conditioning in, and we're going to do this, and we're going to buy nice things, we're going to pay our bills. That's not what God's neighborhood is. That's nice for a congregation to have, and it's good. But God's neighborhood is about God's presence and God's love and God's acceptance and God's extravagant welcome for all. And in God's neighborhood, we get to have great conversations because God is still speaking, because the parables are still living, because the parables are still worth discussing. They're worth chewing on. God wants us to be able to experience the Word and experience God's neighborhood from different perspectives and different angles. God wants us to continue to listen for God's voice, for this still speaking God's voice, and to continue having conversations with one another as we seek deeper and deeper meaning, just like they did back then, just like we can and should do now. See, God's neighborhood is here now. It's arriving now. It's been here in the past. It's unpredictable. It's messy. It's uncontrollable. And it is marvelous. And lots of the time, living in God's neighborhood just kind of makes you go, what? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your neighborhood, that it is messy, uncontrollable, and marvelous. Help us to live in your love. Help us to grow each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.